In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Merry Christmas. You're probably thinking, we're past Christmas. Not quite in the kingdom of God. In the church, today is actually the last day of Christmas. It's called Candlemas. Well, how different life is in the church from the world. What else is new? Our culture celebrates Christmas from Labor Day to Christmas Day. And then all the decorations start coming down. The church, on the other hand, doesn't, at least it's not supposed to, begin to celebrate Christmas, here's a novel idea, until Christmas Day. And the decorations can stay up until today, Candlemas, 40 days after Christmas. Now, I know my altar guild is panicking at this point. So I say, relax. I'm not suggesting that we change our practice. Typically, our decorations come down in the church on Epiphany. There's a practical reason for that. The greenery dries up and it becomes a fire hazard. But in days of old, there was still a hint of decor, the decor of Christmas that remained until Candlemas, that is also called the Feast of the Presentation of Christ in the Temple, and in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer, also commonly called the Purification of Saint Mary the Virgin. In the Eastern Church, it's simply called the Presentation of Christ in the Temple. Among our Roman brothers and sisters, it's referred to as the Purification of Saint Mary the Virgin. And in the Anglican way, our tradition, as you might suspect, is that it goes by both names. Both realities of presentation and purification are implied and are taught in the Gospel readings of this great day, 40 days after the birth of Jesus Christ. Two things happen on that day when Mary entered the temple carrying Christ, accompanied by Joseph. First, the Old Testament required that every firstborn son had to be dedicated to God. So in compliance with the Holy Scriptures, like everything else in the life of Jesus Christ, was obedient to the word of God. Exodus is, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of God, both of man and beast, is mine. From Exodus 15. The consecration or dedication of the firstborn was usually by a sacrifice of some sort. The sacrifice would have been normally a lamb, or if the ones offering were too poor to have a lamb, they could bring two doves or pigeons. It's basically the tithe principle. The firstborn son was to be given to the Lord. The firstborn represented all the children, even the whole family. And when he was dedicated, the Lord gave back the firstborn as a consecrated child to the whole family. In a sense, the dedication of the firstborn saved the family. Well, this is precisely what happened when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus Christ to the temple. They were poor, and so Scripture says they offered two turtle doves. But here's the twist to it. With the dedication of Jesus Christ in the temple on the 40th day of his life, it's similar to what happened at his baptism by John the Baptist. At the baptism of Jesus Christ, the Lord wasn't being cleansed of his sin. He was born without sin. He had no sin. Rather, he was cleansing the waters of the world in preparation for all baptisms to come, as well as the world. So at Christ's dedication of the temple, It was the temple that was being reconsecrated by his own dedication. The Son of God and Light of the World was brought into the temple. We're told in our gospel reading in Luke 2 that a priest named Simeon met Joseph and Mary. The ancient icons have Simeon receiving him and holding him. God had promised this man that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. So he, for years, prayed and waited to meet the Messiah. Finally, when he saw Christ, he sang what we call the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon saw and declared Christ as the light of the world. The fire of God's presence had come back to the temple. For this reason, on this feast day in the fourth century of the church, Christians began holding lighted candles during the liturgy. As a result, the tradition grew of bringing candles to church to have them dedicated, and dedicating the candles used in the church. Then the candles that people brought were given back to be taken into their homes to represent Christ's light, making us part of his light in the world. It's the principle that what we give back to God, he returns to us to steward. Joseph and Mary gave Jesus Christ back to his heavenly Father on this, his presentation in the temple. And they got back as they gave back to the Lord. Something similar happened with a second event that took place on this day. You see, 40 days after Christ was born, Mary was also called upon by the word of God to go through a special ceremony in the temple. The Old Testament taught that a mother had to return to the temple 40 days after the birth of a male child to be purified. It was not necessarily because she was sinful. There's nothing sinful about giving birth to a child. Rather, she had become ceremonially unclean through the loss of blood in the birth process. The Old Testament also taught that contact with blood made one unclean. Life was considered and is in the blood. The loss of blood was the loss of life, therefore, death. Coming in contact with death, in the old covenant, death spreads to death. In the new covenant, that's reversed. It's evidenced when the woman hemorrhaging for 12 years touches Christ's garment. Life spreads to life in the new covenant. The Old Testament required a special ceremony of dedication and thanksgiving to restore the mother. Laws like this were given to teach the people of God in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And this service is partially retained in the Book of Common Prayer that's called the Churching of Women, or Thanksgiving after childbirth. Similar to Jesus, though, Mary did not need to be purified. She had carried the living God in her womb, the pure Christ. She had been touched by him. She carries him. Our collect, though, does acknowledge that she is a pure virgin, the collect for Christmas Day, that is. But on the 40th day after the birth of Jesus, she was the pure one who came to be purified. Yet what she carried in her arms, Jesus Christ, was the purity that not only made her pure, but would bring purity to the world. That same purity of the incarnation came into the temple and cleansed and purified the temple. Joseph and Mary gave back to God what had been given to them. Well, it's the last day of Christmas. It's also the day for returning gifts. And now I've really stepped over the line. I've wished you Merry Christmas 40 days after Christmas, and now I'm saying it's time to return your gifts. Well, it is, but here's the good news. We're talking about the gifts, the good gifts that God gives to us. With God, when we return, what he's given to us, we get back more. We give back what God gives to us that we might receive back the good gifts in a new way. May we see this reality in the presentation of Christ in the temple and the purification of St. Mary the Virgin. May we all see this reality as I say to you for the last time, Merry Christmas. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."